Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, my dear friends. We are studying together the Gospel of John. In Hebrew, the Gospel of Yohanan, Besorat Yohanan. And by the grace of God, we have arrived to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I would like you, please, to open your Bibles with me as I'm reading John chapter 9 and the first 23 verses of this 9th chapter. Please follow me. It is wonderful to be able to read together the scriptures and to be able to be occupied with the wonderful person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. He is the one that came from heaven. He is the eternal Son who became a man according to the Hebrew scriptures, the Emmanuel, the one who was sent from heaven, God with us. A virgin shall be with a child, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, as Isaiah the prophet have prophesied some years ago before the Lord Jesus the Messiah was born here into this world. And so the Gospel of John presents before us the divine person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Immanuel, God with us. And so we're continuing now in the reading in John chapter 9 and verse 1, and we read, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Yeshua answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long that I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spit on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloah, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus, that is called Yeshua. A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloah and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Shabbat day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him, how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Shabbat day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? That he has opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind, and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of an age. Ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Mashiach, the Messiah, Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Beloved friend, I'm going to stop here in verse 23. I read the first 23 verses of John chapter 9, and we are in a very interesting ninth chapter, and we are continuing on as we are following one chapter and one verse at a time in the whole Gospel of Yohanan, Gospel of John, and we are going to see once and again how the Scripture and how God desired to present before us the fact that Yeshua, Jesus, is indeed the Messiah, the Son of God, and how miracle after miracle that he had performed here in this world was only the proof, the evidence that he was indeed much more than just an ordinary man. To remind you once again that in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, we read these words, And many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that Yeshua is the Mashiach, the Son of God, Ben Elohim, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Wonderful, wonderful truth to understand, beloved brothers and sisters, and to remind you that the Gospel of Yohanan, the Gospel of John, present before us the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, as the eternal Son of God. Matthew present him as the King of Israel. Mark present him as the servant of the Lord. Luke presents him as the perfect man. And John present him as the Son of God. The Mashiach, the servant, the man, the Son of God, God the Son. And so we have arrived to chapter 9 of this gospel. It is fascinating and important to understand that in this life of the Lord before he finished the work of redemption when he died on the shameful cross, we see the perfection in the life of the Lord here on earth. He was the only one that was qualified to be the Mashiach, the Messiah, because the prophets of Israel have already wrote of him in days of old. In days of old, the prediction was when the Messiah will come, According to Isaiah chapter 35, we read in verse 4, "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not, behold your God. He will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and say." But you see, the vengeance will be at his second coming. Salvation, the provision of salvation, will be at the first coming of the Messiah. And so we read in verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hurt, and the tongues of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and stream in the desert." Isaiah, in this 35th chapter, have given to Israel the qualification of the Messiah when he will come. He will give sight to the blind. He will open the ears of the deaf. He will allow the lame to walk. And he will allow the dumb to speak and to sing. This is fascinating when we look at these passages that are found in the prophets that wrote in days of old concerning the coming Redeemer, the Savior who will come for the express purpose of dying for the sin of this world. But in his life, he will be the one that will show himself in his perfection, that he is indeed the promised Messiah. Isaiah's writing was about 750 years before the Mashiach came. And the prophet spoke concerning him. Well, Matthew himself really quoted what we read in Isaiah chapter 35. In the first few verses of Matthew chapter 11, we read, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commending his 12 disciples, and he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of the Messiah, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another?" And look at the response of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, to John the Baptizer, who was now in prison, who was discouraged. Yeshua answered through the disciples to Yohanan HaMatbil by saying to him in verse 4 of Matthew chapter 11, he answered and he said unto them, "Go and show John, saying, those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And so here, as we enter into the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, we have entered into the chapter that deals with another one of the miracles that our Lord Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, performed when he was here upon the face of this earth. You see, the first miracle that he performed in the Gospel of John was in John 2, 1 to 11, he changed the water into wine. The second miracle which Yeshua performed while he was here on earth was written in John 4, verses 46 to 54, he healed the ruler's son. The third miracle was in John 5, verses 1 to 16, and what he did there, he healed then the disabled man. And then in John chapter 6, verses 5 to 14, that was the fourth miracle that Yeshua performed, is the fact that he fed the multitude. According to John 6, there were 5,000 men. According to Matthew chapter 14, there was 5,000 men plus women and children, which probably about 20,000 Israelis in the northern portion of the land of Israel in the Galilee. In John chapter 6, In verses 16 to 21, Yeshua did his fifth miracle. He walked on the sea. And there, if you remember, he called Shimon Petros to come to him. And as long that Shimon Petros was focused upon the person of Yeshua the Messiah, he could walk on the water. But the moment that he looked around and saw the waves and the storm and the water, and he began to sink, and our blessed Lord Jesus the Messiah lifted him up and brought him into the boat. But here, beloved friend, we are going through now the sixth miracle that Yeshua the Messiah performed, fulfilling his messianic prophetic word, which when the Messiah will come, he will be the one that will, the blind will receive their sight, the lame will walk, the lepers will be cleansed, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise, and the poor will have the gospel preached unto them. That is the qualification of the Mashiach of Israel, the promised Redeemer that would come into this world. And so in John, in the whole gospel, we have these eight miracles that are found. Yeshua the Messiah made many, many more miracles, as at the end of the gospel of John we read in verse 30, and many other signs, other miracles truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. This is John chapter 20 and verse 30. But we have these eight miracles, and here in John 9, we have miracle number 6. Beautiful, beautiful miracle of the healing of the blind men. Now, let me just remind you, beloved friend, that it is so important to understand that God always performed miracles in the history of our people of Israel. In fact, if you remember when he brought our people Israel out of the land of Egypt, in the book of Exodus, we read in Exodus 7, 8, and 9, and 10, and 11, and 12, you remember the 10 plagues, Aseret HaMakot, water turned to blood, the frogs and the lice and the flies and the murrain and the boils and the hail and the locusts and the darkness and even the firstborn that are slain. That was an amazing miracle that God had performed in the history of Israel just when he was going to lead them outside of bondage into the promised land of Canaan. On the way, as they left the land of Egypt, if you remember, God, in a miraculous way, in Exodus 14, we read of it, and chapter 15, of the parting of the Red Sea, Yam Suf, the reed sea that God have opened, and Israel walked dry shod in the wilderness. Amazing how had God turned the water that was bitter was turned into sweet water of mar. And the man that he sent down from heaven, Exodus chapter 16. The water that came flowed out of the rock when Moshe smote the rock in Exodus chapter 17. And how he judged Nadav and Avihu in Leviticus chapter 10. And if you remember how the thing that he performed in the history of Israel, how even Aaron's rod budded, we read it in Numbers chapter 17. The water once again came out of the rock when Moshe, who should have spoken to the rock, but this time he have hit it, smote it twice in Numbers chapter 20. How many miracles when the brazen serpent lifted up and Israel's the plague was seized when judging the people of Israel, even when Israel have entered into the promised land in the days of Yehoshua, that is Joshua, how the Jordan River stood still when Israel crossed into the promised land. Miracle after miracle after miracle in the history of the nation of Israel. The fall of Jericho in Joshua 6. The sun and the moon standing in Joshua chapter 10. Dagon, the god of the Philistine, were cursed in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And so on, and miracles after miracles in the history of the people of Israel. You remember in the time of Elijah and Elisha, how the raising of the widow's son at Sarefet, how God in a miraculous way have raised the widow's son, and how even in the time of the kings, if you remember 1 Kings 18, how the sacrifice of the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, how God have consumed the sacrifice that Eliyahu have offered on behalf of the 12 tribes of Israel. And we can just go on and go on and go on, my dear friends. The God of the scripture, the God of the universe, the God of Israel is a God of miracles. And here we see in the Gospel of John that God, in the person of the Son, the Mashiach, came into this world, and you can expect miracles to happen, not to entertain man, but to meet the needs of humanity. God is a God who loves humanity, who loves mankind. He loves you, he loves me, he loves the human race. And when Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, God the Son, have performed miracles, it's in order to meet the need of the human race. There are many more miracles that we can mention in the days of Elisha, and in the days of the time of Jonah, the prophet of Israel, and all that which is written to us throughout the prophets of Israel, even in the days of Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, the three Jewish boys, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, who were cast into the fiery furnace, and God preserved them right there and then. And Daniel in the den of lions, where God protected Daniel from the lion. And even in the time of the writing of the wall, in which the judgment of God came upon the king that mocked the God of Israel. And on and on and on. And here we are, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend. Here we have the God of the universe came into this world in the person of the Son, the Mashiach himself. And here once again, he is performing a miracle, but not to entertain people, but to meet the need of a person in the land of Israel, in the time where he was a blind man. And so we read in verses 1 to 12, these first 12 verses of John chapter 9, we see the, you might say, the progress in appreciation of who Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, that we can see here in this person that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, is about to heal. The blind man, Ha'ish Ha'iver, he's called in Hebrew. Imagine, I just want to mention one more thing, that blind man is a representation of the blindness of humanity. All of us are blind by nature. All of us are blind by nature. And here is this blind man really representing the whole human race, who is not physically blind, but spiritually blind. We are blind by nature, dear friends, and unless God will open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, we will never be able to understand spiritual truth. We are by nature unable to understand the things of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And because we are sinners by nature, we need the touch of the Lord by the Spirit of God to open the eyes of our understanding, that we will understand the truth of God. And through this man, we learn how he, from being physically blind, become not only physically able to see, but spiritually to be able to appreciate who Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah is. So you notice the progress. In the first 12 verses, the blind man is found here. In the first few verses we read, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Here he was born blind. He was born blind, physically born blind, cannot see. Like you and I, spiritually born blind. We cannot see. We cannot see our condition. No wonder we reject the things of God. No wonder we say no to God's word and God's son and God's love. Because by nature we are blind. We don't see our need. We don't even realize this. This is why God needs to touch our hearts. But here is a man that is blind from his birth. And when Jesus passed by, he's passing by. He's passing by in the life of each and every one of us. Here he's passing by. And what does he see? He saw a blind man that he's born blind. Blind from his birth, as verse 1 tells us. So immediately as he passed by, the disciples asked him and they said, Master, Rabbi, they asked him, Rabbi, the word Rabbi, teacher, Rabbi, tell us, Rabbenu, our rabbi, tell us, who has, listen to this, they said to him, who did sin? This man sin? Or his parents sin? That he was born blind? You see, I would like to remind you that when God gave the law to Israel, the nation, the second commandment that God had gave to the people of Israel is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 on to verse 6. Now again, there is a different way in which our Jewish people look at the Ten Commandments. As far as the people of Israel, the Ten Commandments begin from verse 1. The first commandment is, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Christians in general look at verse 3 as the first commandment. So as the Jewish people look at the first commandment, actually in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 2, and then the second commandment is Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 to verse 6. Others in the Christian community look at the first commandment as being verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20. But listen to what it says. In this commandment, thou shalt have no other God before me. This is verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Notice what it says in verse 5 and verse 6. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting, notice that, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and verse 6 says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. So to understand, beloved brothers and sisters, these Hebrew disciples, in verse 2, they ask him, saying, Rabbi, Rabbenu, our teacher, our rabbi, who did sin? This man or his parents? Of course, in their mind, they are looking back to the Torah, to the Ten Commandments, which says in verse 5 of Exodus chapter 20, you shall not bow thyself down to these images. Because God, the Lord, is a jealous God. He will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. And that's why they ask him this question. But beloved friend, we have to understand that we don't stop in the middle of the verse, because in the same verse 5 of Exodus chapter 20, God continues in saying that he will visit the iniquities of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and unto the fourth generation, but he continues and he says, of them that hate me. In other words, if the parents sin, the child does not bear the consequence of the sin of their parents. In other words, if the child that was born to the parents continue in his own way, living life without God and against God in sinful life, he will bear his own sins. In other words, God is not punishing the children because of their parents. This is very important to realize, because God is not going to punish one because of the wrongdoing of their parents. Ezekiel was telling Israel of what God really wants and expecting from the children. It says in Ezekiel chapter 18, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, What mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." In other words, the people of Israel are saying, well, our fathers have eaten sour grapes, this is a proverb, and now our teeth are set on edge. In other words, our parents have sinned, and we are now bearing the consequence of their sins. And God said, "As I live, says the Lord, ye shall not have occasion anymore to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." So, we have to understand that God is not punishing the children because of their parents. If the parents live godless life, their parents will be disciplined by God. But if the children will live a godly life, they will be blessed by the Lord. Now, mind you, of course, when a generation doing wrong things and living a life away from God, obviously, the consequence of sin bring results in this world. And therefore, when a generation turn away from the Lord, it affects the next generations. That's true. But God is not the one who punished directly the second generation, especially if the next generation is confessing and repenting and turning back to Him. But on the basis of Exodus chapter 20, verses 5 and 6, the one that God will judge is the one who continue on to be away from Him. But the one who will respond to Him and will love Him, as it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, "But He will show mercy unto the thousands of them that love Him and keep His commandment." And therefore, the question came in light of that which was given in Exodus chapter 20, which the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught. And even today, in the place, in the world in which we live in today, in the last days of the church age, some teach that, well, we have a generational judgment because of our parents. But beloved friend, if we turn to the Lord and live for Him and repent of our own sin, the Lord will bless His own people. And so we read here, as the question, the disciples ask Him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" But notice what Yeshua is saying in verse 3 and 4 and 5. Yeshua answered and He said, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but," in verse 3b, "that the works of God should be made manifest in him." God have allowed this man to be born blind in order that the works of God will be manifest to Israel through this miracle that is about to happen. A man that was born blind is just about to receive his sight. And Yeshua said in verse 4 and 5, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." This is such a beautiful expression. Yeshua will use this man's blindness to show these works of God, the miracles of God, for the benefit of this man and the benefits of those that are surrounding him. Amazing to see the purposes of God. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our life for a reason. And because he wants that the works of God should be evident in our life. And he allowed the humanity to experience certain things that God's works will be evident through his people. In John chapter 11, we read in verse 4, when Jesus have heard, he said, this is concerning Eliezer, Lazarus, who died. We read, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, even the death of Eliezer, Lazarus, later on, was for the express purpose that God will be glorified. You see, this world belonged to God. Whatever he allowed here in this world, it is his sovereign will. He's a God of providence. He's caring for his world. He's caring for his own. And while men fail him and sin against him, yet God in his wisdom, he knows what to do, when to do, and how to do. But ultimately, everything here is for the glory of God. And so we read, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is the day, the night cometh when no man can work. Imagine, he is in the midst of the nation of Israel. It is a time where he is coming to give provision for salvation, because soon he's going to go to the cross. He's going to die to provide salvation for all who will believe in him. He will be punished for our sin when he will die on that shameful altar, on that cross. And so he said, as long as I am in the world, ani hu or haolam, I am the light of the world. Beautiful to see that in the Gospel of John. Once and again we read of him as the one that is the light of the world. If you remember in John 1 and verse 5, we have already read, and the light shineth in darkness. You remember we have already read this interesting verse. In verse 9 we read, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into this world. John 1 and verse 9. We have already looked at this, beloved friend. We have already read in John 3 and verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We read this already in our study of this wonderful Gospel of John, my dear friend and dear brothers and sisters. And he's already said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. And here in John chapter 9, he's repeating, I am the light of the world. In Hebrew, ani hu or haolam. Wonderful. And so we read in verse 6 on, when he had thus spoken, John 9 and verse 6, we read, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, in Hebrew Shiloach, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, my dear friend, in verses 6 and 7? You can see now this interesting event. What is Yeshua, Jesus, doing? He's spitting on the ground, and then he made clay out of the spittle. And what does he do? He's making like a cream, and he puts it on the blind man's eye. Put this clay mixed with the spittle of the Messiah, of Yeshua, and he put it on his eye. This is fascinating, because to remind you, my dear friend, that you and I came out of the dust of the ground. We are We were made out of the ground. As we read already in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and 27, we were all created by God from the dust of the ground. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us make men in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And notice it says in verse 27 of Genesis 1, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." Again, it is so interesting because the same Jesus, the same Yeshua, Jehovah the Savior, the Emmanuel, is the one that is the creator of all things. Remember, we read in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." This is the God of the universe. And so we read that he created Adam and Eve, Adam from the ground. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, we read, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And here we have the Lord Yeshua the Messiah spitting on the ground, and make out of this spittle, mixing it with the ground, and him anointing the eyes of that blind man with the clay. Think about it for a moment, my dear friend. You and I, who are spiritually blind, because of sin, because we were born in sin. We have inherited a sin nature. Same God who formed our father, Adam, is about to give physical sight initially, later on spiritual sight, to this man that was born blind. Using his spittle, mixing it with the dust of the ground, and anointing the eyes of this man that is born blind. And how interesting it is that with other blind men, he did not do the same thing as with this man, as we have it in Matthew 9 and in Mark 8. But here in John 8, we see the importance of the Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, as the Son of God, is God the Son in his divine nature. The emphasis here is on his divine nature. Out of his spittle, he can give sight to a man that was born blind. And that is very touching. It tells us that because who he is that holy man of God. He is the undefiled, the one that is separate from sinners. The sinless one who was born to the Virgin Miriam, in him there is no sin. He knew no sin. He did no sin. You remember in John 8, he says, "Which of you have convicted me of sin?" He's a sinless one. And his spittle is that which brings blessing to sinners such as you and I. In Hebrews 7, we read, verse 26, "For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." And so he told him, "Go and wash." And notice, go and wash where? In the pool of, in English, Siloam, but in Hebrew it is Shiloach. Shiloach, Brechat HaShiloach, the pool of Siloam. And that pool of Shiloach is that when the water came under and was entering into the city of Jerusalem, it says by interpretation, it is called the sent. Lishloach means to be sent. And amazing to think about it. God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of this world. We read in the epistle of John, 1 John 4 and verse 14 in the epistle, John said, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent, shalach, the Son to be the Savior of the world." And sure enough, these men, in obedience to the word of the Lord, he went his way. He washed and he came seeing. What an amazing miracle we have here in John chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You see, Yeshua commanded him to go and wash in the pool of Shiloach. And that Shiloach, it is, the thought is that word sent, which is often shalach in Hebrew, often mentioned in this same gospel, the Gospel of John. We read in John chapter 3 and verse 17, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Notice verse 34 of John chapter 3, "For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure to him." Amazing, beloved friend. And later on in John chapter 5, we read in verse 36, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me." He is the sent one from heaven, my dear friend. This is fascinating when we read the scripture concerning the person of the Messiah. In John chapter 7 and verse 29, we read, "But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me," Yeshua said, in the temple. And as we have already covered in John chapter 8 and verse 18, we have already read, "I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me." And ultimately in verse 42 of John chapter 8, Yeshua said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would have loved me, for I proceed from him and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me." The Father, the Abba, sent the Son, the Messiah, the Ben. And here we read in this passage this wonderful truth concerning the one that was sent. So you notice we are back in John chapter 9. And in John chapter 9 from verse 8, after this man that was blind came seeing, we read in verse 8, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before have seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged?" Others, we read in verse 9, some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." But he testified. He said, "I am he. Yes, I was the one. I was blind, but now I see." And so in verses 10, 11, and 12, all ask him, "How were you able to see? How you are able to see?" We read in verse 10, everybody was so overwhelmed. And so they said unto him, "How were your eyes opened?" John 9 and verse 10, "How come you were blind? You were born blind. How were your eyes opened?" Notice what this man that was blind, the Hebrew word blind, iver, he was blind. He answered and he said, and notice the first thing that he learned is about the man, Yeshua, the Messiah. Notice he said, "A man that is called Jesus, a man that is called Yeshua made clay and anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Shiloach and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight." Notice initially, he only understood, and you can see how the progress here in the Gospel of John chapter 9 of the progress of a growth in understanding and appreciating who Jesus is. He began here in verse 10, he says, a man, ish, a man that is called Yeshua. A man, ish asher shmo Yeshua, a man that is called Jesus, made clay, anointed mine eyes, said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and I went and washed, and I received my sight. And they then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. And beloved friends, in these first 12 verses we learn that this man who was born blind have come to know who Yeshua is as a man that is called Yeshua. And here we learn, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friend, how this man that was born blind and received his sight in a miraculous way when Yeshua, God the Son, as man, God the Son, as man, said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, and you will receive your sight. He, in obedience to him, he went, he washed, and he came back seeing. And all this was done right before the eyes of many in Israel. How wonderful to see this event and to read it in the Word of God. But now notice, we continue on with the next verses, verses 13 to verse 23, and we can see the progress of this man that was blind. In verse 13 to verse 23, you notice that now he sees in him much more than just an ordinary man, but he recognized more concerning the person of the Lord Jesus, that he was a prophet. He was sent by God. Of course, he need to understand as time passes by that he is the eternal Son of God, the Mashiach. But you can see the progress here. Just like you and I today, when we become, first of all, believers, we are attracted to the men, wonderful men, gracious men. But God wants us to know, as John 20 and verse 31 tells us, that these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus, this is the man, that Yeshua is the Mashiach, is the Messiah, but even more, the Son of God. And you can see the progress in the life of this man that was once blind. We read now in verse 13 to verse 23 these words. And you can see in verse 13 now, of John 9, verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees now, to the Purushim, the one that was aforetime blind. They brought the one that is now can see. He was blind. They brought him before the spiritual leaders. And so in verse 14, we read, and it was on Shabbat day when Yeshua made the clay and opened his eyes. You see, here it is. It's always in conflict with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who did not understand that the Shabbat was given for much more than just keeping rules, but the Shabbat was given to Israel to rest. And not only to rest, but to do that which is good, that which is for God during the Shabbat day. And notice how once and again it mentioned here that it was a Shabbat day that oftentimes was a conflict between Israel and the Messiah himself. According to Mark chapter 2, we learn in verse 27, he said Yeshua has always had to instruct the people of Israel that the Shabbat was made for men and not men for the Shabbat. Therefore, the Son of Man, namely the Mashiach, the Messiah, he is Lord over the Shabbat. He can do as he pleases on the Shabbat. And definitely to do good on a Shabbat, it is the right thing to do. And so, interestingly, in verse 14 of John 9, the Spirit of God placed before us, and it was a Shabbat day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Notice, made the clay. It's like work. You take spittle, you spit on the ground, you take a little bit of the ground, you mix it up, you make like an ointment and so on, and then you anoint the eyes of this one that was blind. It's like almost working, right? But obviously it's not. But for the spiritual leaders of the day, it was like work. It was violating the Shabbat. So notice now, beloved friend, in the next verses, in verse 15, then the Pharisees also ask him how he had received his sight. This is the blind, the one that was blind. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Clearly, how do you become? How you receive your sight? Well, this man, Yeshua, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I went to wash, and I see. In verse 16, the leaders of Israel accuse Yeshua because he healed on a Shabbat day. Notice that. Therefore, some said of the Pharisees, this man is not of God. Why? Because he keepeth not the Shabbat day. Now, how sad it is. Instead of being happy for the fact that this man that was born blind never could see anything, now that he can see, they are not happy with it. And they say, well, he is not of God because he does not keep the Shabbat. Where did he not keep the Shabbat? And so we read, others said, how can this man, can a man that is a sinner do such a miracle? If he is an ordinary man, how could he do something like that? And there was a division among them. Many times we find out in the Gospel of John that there was a division among the people because some believe on him and some did not. Some have been attracted to him and they saw in him that he was the Messiah. Others did not. And there was constantly a division among some of the people, just like there is division today in the world in which we live in today. Some believe on him, some don't. Some follow Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah, some not. It says in John chapter 7, in verse 47, then answered them the Pharisees, are ye also deceived? You remember there was amazing when the people came and they followed the Lord and the officers came earlier without to bring the person of the Lord Jesus to the rulers. They had a division among them because some believed and some did not. You'll read it later in John chapter 10 that there will be a division among the people because of the person of Yeshua the Messiah. And you know, my dear friend, the Lord Jesus the Messiah have already said in Matthew chapter 10 that those that will follow him will experience division in their own life, even with their own families. In John chapter 10, we read these words. And I read, think not that I've come to send peace on earth, but I came to send not peace, but sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughters-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son and daughters more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not the cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. See, Yeshua knew that that will bring a division. Those that will believe in him will face opposition. And so we read as we continue on in John chapter 9 and verse 17, we read that it says here, they say unto the blind man, what sayest thou of him that has opened thine eyes? Now notice that. Earlier, he said, a man that is called Yeshua. Now here's a progress in appreciation of who Yeshua is. They ask him, what do you have to say about the one who opened your eyes? And the one that was blind said, he is a prophet. Hu Navi, a prophet. And of course, it reminds us of the passage in the book of Deuteronomy where God said that I will raise unto the people of Israel a prophet from among the nation of Israel. And that he will be the one that will be the one that Israel is called to believe on him. Deuteronomy 18:18 said, I will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, he said to Moshe, and I will put my word in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. This is the prophet, the Mashiach, the Messiah. Now, of course, this man was limited in his understanding of who Jesus is, who Yeshua is. But you notice the progression. In verse 11, he said, a man that is called Jesus. Ish, Ushmo, Yeshua. But now in verse 17, he said, he is a prophet. Hu Navi. So now notice verse 18 on, all the way to verse 23. Sadly, the Jewish leaders did not accept that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that was the prophet like unto Moshe. And so we read from verse 18 up to verse 23 how the response of the Jewish leaders concerning him. Notice again, but the Jews, again to remind you, dear friend, dear brothers and sisters, some 70 times the word Jews is mentioned in the Gospel of John. Don't forget, the event occurred in the Jewish land. The Pharisees were Jews. The Sadducees were Jews. The disciples were Jews. The parents of this person that was blind was Jews. The people around were Jews. Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, was a Jewish man. So whenever you read the Jews in the Gospel of John, we understand it is in relationship to the spiritual leaders who did not acknowledge him. It's not all the Jews, because the disciples were Jewish. The man that was blind was Jewish. So it is important to bear this in mind, and I'm emphasizing that to help us all to understand that it has to do with the spiritual leaders who did not acknowledge that Yeshua is the Messiah. So the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. Verse 18. Verse 19, and they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? They asked the parents. You remember, in the earlier part of this ninth chapter, the disciples asked Yeshua, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? And of course, Yeshua said, neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So they're asking now his parents, how then he sees? And the parents in verse 20 answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We are his parents. We know he was born blind. We are fascinated in the fact that now he sees. Praise God, if you would read between the lines. What an amazing movement of the hearts it must have been to see their son that was once blind. Now he's seeing. And instead of being occupied with God and saying, God, thank you for giving us this miraculous event that this man that was blind now can see. Notice what the leader's doing here. They're trying to find fault in Yeshua, in Jesus. And they're occupied with the fact that he have done this on a Shabbat day, violating the Shabbat. And not appreciating the fact that here is one that came from glory and gave sight to a man that was once blind. So we read that his parents, he said, by what means, verse 21, he's now sees, we do not know. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. See, the parents did not know even how to relate to that. They said, well, ask him, we don't know, we tell you what happened. He is our son, he was born blind, iver in Hebrew, he couldn't see. Ask him. He's of age. And so notice that. In verse 22 and 23, they said, these words spake his parents because, notice, they feared the Jews. Again, they are Jewish, and they feared the Jews, meaning they feared the Jewish leaders, the spiritual leaders. Why? For the Jews, that means the spiritual leaders had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was the Messiah, the Greek word Christos, in Hebrew Mashiach, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. You see, my dear friends, imagine the fear of being put out of the synagogue, Beit HaKnesset, with the community of all the people of Israel coming to worship God. And if anyone would accept that he was the Messiah, they will be put out of the synagogue. That is very, very sad. Notice if a little bit later on, we're going to read it in our next ministry meeting, it says in verse 34 of this same John 9, at the end of verse 34, they cast him out. They put him out of the synagogue. Because he believed that Yeshua was that man who was a prophet. And that later on he will recognize him that he is a man that came from God. And by the time we're going to end chapter 9, he will recognize him as the Son of God, Ben Elohim Chaim. Just like Shimon Petro said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Atahu HaMashiach Ben Elohim Chaim. Thou art the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Well, you see, my dear friend, how this individual and his parents and those that follow Yeshua the Messiah, and just like anyone in this world today, Jewish or non-Jewish, in the world in which we live in today, when we take side with the person of Yeshua the Messiah, oftentimes we experience misunderstanding by people whom we love so dearly. People who we want to be a blessing to them. But siding with Yeshua, with Jesus the Messiah, is oftentimes would bring persecution and tribulation and rejection and misunderstanding by those who don't believe on him. And so we read, sadly, in verse 22 and 23, that the parents were afraid of the leaders, and therefore they are ultimately did not know how to handle this, so they said to him, you ask him, he will give you the answer, because they were afraid, because they already have decided that whoever will believe that he was the Messiah, they will be put out of the synagogue. Earlier in chapter 5, in verse 44, Yeshua said these words, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? When we're going to seek an honor for men and not from God, it says here in verse 45, and verse 44 and 45 of chapter 5, how can ye believe which receive honor one from another? When we want honor from men, we will receive honor from men, but we will not receive the honor that cometh from God. And fear of men oftentimes causes us to stumble and not to follow our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And we cannot speak about them. We can also look at our own hearts, how oftentimes, because of fear we dishonor the Lord and we are not following after him. King Shlomo, Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." We read in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. So the fear of man brings a snare, but the fear of the Lord is that assure us a blessing. Isaiah also in chapter 51 said in verse 7, "Hearken unto me by the word of the Lord, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings." In other words, God is encouraging the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah not to have the fear of men, but to have the fear of God. In verse 12 of Isaiah 51, we read, "I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of a son of man which shall be made as grass?" Amazing, amazing. And God is encouraging his people to trust in him and not to be afraid of men. So, beloved friend, this is such an amazing passage that we have here in John chapter 9. I want to close with reading Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, which Yeshua said, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And so, beloved friends, we have covered in this ministry meeting the first 23 verses of John chapter 9. The man that was blind, he said, "A man that is called Jesus made a clay, anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloah and wash. And I went and I washed and I received sight." Then secondly, later on in verse 17, he said, "He is a prophet." He is a man, he is a prophet. Later on, he will come to an additional appreciation of who the Lord Jesus the Messiah was. Well, may God help us to appreciate who he is. He is the one who gave us spiritual sight when we have trusted in him and accepted him as our Lord and as our Savior. Well, God bless you, my dear friend. We will continue in our next session in the study of the Gospel of John. Take care and shalom, shalom.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.